Okay, so this morning I've got the enviable task of speaking on just one line from the Lord's Prayer. Looking back, when Nikki had three lines last week, plus the introduction, I just get one line. And it's Matthew 6, verse 11. And it's, "Give us today our daily bread." Six simple words. Give us today our daily bread. And that's Matthew 6, verse 11. So I ask myself, what is my daily bread? Well, for me on a Sunday, it's a couple of slices of white to mop up my gravy after lunch, and a couple of crumpets in the evening with some butter and Marmite. And, see? Half the church, now I'm interested. The other half are being sick in their pew. I love butter and Marmite on a crumpet, just dripping through, just can't beat it. So for me, what is my daily bread is two slices of white for mopping up gravy, and maybe more than two, but we'll just pretend it's two, and a couple of crumpets. And in Genesis 9 verse 6b says, "For in the image of God has God made mankind." So clearly God likes to mop up his gravy and enjoys a Marmite slathered crumpet. So amen, and Rich, back to you. All right, so clearly that's not everything I've got to say. There is definitely more to that. And a few weeks ago, when I was looking at the Lord's Prayer, I was reminded of a film I watched. And some of you might have seen it. It's called Dig. Has anyone seen the film Dig? A few of you. So Dig is a film set just before the Second World War. And it's in on a country estate. And I won't spoil the whole thing for you. But basically, there's the lady who owns the estate, and she's got a big field, and there's a couple of, like, tumps, let's say, grassy mounds in the field. And she says to a local guy, "Like, I think we need to dig into these mounds, you know, there might be something in there." And she employs a local, local archaeologist, who's largely unqualified, but he's the local guy, and he starts digging. And it looks like just a grassy mound in a field. And they start digging, they scrape away the grass, and the detritus of like years of dumping. And eventually they come across a piece of timber. And everyone's saying, "You're just mad, just stop, you're wasting money, stop." But she keeps digging, he keeps digging for her. And eventually they find an entire medieval ship, a burial ship. It's miles away from the river. They've clearly carried this huge ship, about the size of the village hall, up the hill and buried somebody in it. And they find quite a famous, and it's a gold or bronze helmet, which is quite well known. When I was reading the Lord's Prayer, I was kind of reminded that, although it's quite simple, it's a bit like an archaeological dig. So on the first hand, it's quite short and to the point and succinct. And it's intentionally that way because Matthew 6, verse 7 says, "And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, but short and succinct." Now, that mustn't be confused with basic and simple. So let's unpack, and as a nun once said, let's start at the very beginning. Very good place to start. So the first word, and I apologise to anybody who's a scholar in Greek or can speak Greek. I'm from Bristol, and I speak Bristol. So the first word is give, okay? Give. It's a gift, okay? It's given. It's not lent to us. We don't hire it. It's not, "Father, hire me my daily bread," or "lend me my daily bread." It's give. Give me my daily bread. From one person to another. And in this instance, it's from our Father in heaven to us on earth. It's a simple request. Give. Now, it could be seen as a little bit rude. You can imagine, we talked about kids this morning, and Rich talked about the soup. You know, can I have a better soup? And how they got away with it. Well, I think, if that was Fred when he was growing up, and he just said, "Dad, give me my daily bread," I'd be saying, "Well, hang on. What's the magic word?" You know, or we don't say "give" in this house, we say "please may I have." So it's not "please may I have my daily bread," it's "give." So I thought, well, that is a bit rude. But then I was reminded of what Nick said last week, that this is Jesus to his father. And he simply says, give. And it's not disrespectful and it's not rude, because it's precluded by the acknowledgement of the listener being God. Hallowed be your name. And then followed by the humility of forgiveness. So it's give, but it's not rude. It's just, Lord, you are God. Give me my daily bread. Give. A gift. So next word is us. Not give me, but give us. It's a prayer of community and togetherness. Give us. And along with our Father and various other ours and us's, it creates a bit of a confusion, I think. Because on the one hand, we're being told to pray on our own, behind closed doors in our rooms, which implies solitude. And on the other hand, we're told to pray, give us, which implies the opposite. And whilst it's good to come together, it's not our coming together that unites us, but it's our common beliefs and passions. If I take my shoes off, I'll be in my socks. My socks will stick to the floor and it'll be like Home Alone. I'll give it a go. And whilst it's good to come together, it's not our coming together that unites us. It's our common beliefs and passions. So we can be alone in our rooms and still pray, give us, because our hearts are of unity and togetherness, even when we're apart. Nikki and I are married when we're together and still married when we're apart. There's no respite for her. No respite for her. We are a church when we are together and we are a church when we're apart. I do find it funny that in many churches, the Lord's Prayer is a fundamental part of the Eucharist, the Holy Communion. In the coming together and the breaking of bread, we pray a prayer we're told to pray in our rooms, on our own, behind closed doors. That's for another day, maybe. So we start asking for a gift given to us. Nothing too deep or surprising yet. But we're just scraping the surface. We've removed the turf. We've got through the detritus, and we're in the middle of our archaeological dig, and things are going to start to get a bit more interesting. Maybe there's a few bits of pottery that's going to start popping up. So next we have today. Give us today. Now the word today is throughout the Bible. And in the New Testament, it's specifically translated from one word. Here we go. Semeron. I know we're getting some nods, not too bad. Which means today. Okay. Often in Matthew and Luke, and almost always in Acts, however, it's more commonly rendered not as today, but instead to this day. Largely everywhere else in the Bible, it's today, but in Acts, and the only two Gospels which include the Lord's Prayer, this day, more commonly. So rather than give us today, we could easily find ourselves saying, give us this day. Another reason it may more accurately be this day is it's not preceded by the word hoti, H-O-T-I, which means that. Jesus, when he spoke in the synagogue, said in Luke 4:20-21, then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Still Semeron, but in this instance, precluded with hoti. So the today in that scripture is linked with what came before. Jesus reads the scripture and then he says today. But he's talking about what he's just read. Why is that important? Well, it's important because hoti is missing in give us today. And that's because give us today relates to what comes next, not what went before. So it's give us this day what comes next. Our Well, you'll be pleased to know the next word, hour. Give us today, hour. I'm not going to repeat everything I said for us, because actually the word hour, us and we, are all derived from the same word. Only to say that it's given to us, for us. Give us today, hour. Now it starts to get a little bit more interesting or complicated, depending on your view. And I'm somebody, you know me, I'm not somebody who generally goes into the depth of the word. I like to read a word and say, well, God, what are you telling me about this and how does it apply? But I kind of find myself diving further and further down a rabbit hole of books. If you know me, I'm not a book fan. There's not a video on this that I could watch, frustratingly. I had to read books. And I read an exhaustive concordance. I started looking at what the words meant, the Greek words, what they derived from, what they generally are translated into. I pulled out something called Vine's Expository of New Testament Words. Look at that. I brushed the dust off and had a read. And I kind of found myself getting more and more into this stuff. It's actually quite interesting, words. Who knew reading could be so much fun? But it is. So daily, okay? Daily is a common word, isn't it? We use it in our vocabulary, literally, daily. Read the Daily Mail. Anyone read the Daily Mail? No one's admitting to it, praise the Lord. Take medicines four times daily. Not a flashy car, just a daily driver. Test daily, Tom daily. You get the point. We use it lots. And in the NIV, it appears 30 times. Nowhere near as many times as give, interestingly, 908 times. But enough to be interesting. Why interesting, I hear you ask? That's unprompted. So pleased. I could sit down now and just be happy. Why interesting? Well, interesting because Matthew, when he's recording the Lord's Prayer in his Gospel, uses the word, here we go, epiousios, which is E-P-I-O-U-S-I-O-S. Okay? And he uses that word for daily. And it's far from a common word. In fact, it only appears in the Bible twice. In Matthew, in the context of give us our daily epiousios bread, and in one other place. Anyone like to hazard a guess? No. Okay. Well, it appears in Luke as well, in the context of give us today our daily bread. So it only appears twice in the Bible. Both in the same time, in the same context. And here's where it gets really interesting. Epiousios, the word that's translated as daily in Matthew and Luke, in the context of the Lord's Prayer, appears nowhere else except in the Lord's Prayer. And I don't mean in the Bible, I mean in all Greek literature. We're talking about thousands of books, millions of scraps of paper that have survived in museums and archives around the world. And not one of them contains that word. Even though the word is so rare, it's actually reasonably accurate and possible to translate it, because it's a combination of more common words. Many scholars believe it comes from words meaning for going on, or for the morrow, or tomorrow. And others believe it means to signify bread present, or sufficient bread. Now, Vine's Expository Dictionary of New Testament Words considers both and concludes that because of the word's formation, something that, frankly, I'm no expert on, I shall have to take their word for it, it's because of the word's formation that it's questionable to mean sufficient. And then by the same argument, it's unlikely also to be talking about substance. And therefore, it's more likely to derive from two words, epi and eimi, E-I-M-I, meaning to go, as in bread for going on or for tomorrow. It's the present continuous text, tense. This also fits with cimarron, which comes before, today or this day. So if you think about it, you wouldn't say in English, give us today, today's bread. You just say, give us today's bread. Because you'd only want it today. You wouldn't say, give us today yesterday's bread. And you wouldn't say, give us yesterday today's bread. You'd just say, give us today's bread. So it makes no sense for it to be a duplication. It's not a verily, verily scenario. So we're left with only one explanation. Give us today tomorrow's bread. Or, considering the present continuous expansion, give us today for today and tomorrow. Now that could be seen to be out of line with the rest of the gospel teachings. After all, immediately after the Lord's Prayer, Jesus teaches us something else, which is in Matthew 6:25, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for what you will wear or what you will eat today has enough concerns. But then if you think about it, if you had tomorrow's bread today, you'd have no reason to be anxious about tomorrow. Confirmation of this translation can be found in Acts 7:26 and 16:11, where the word epius, which is used in the phrase the next day. So then we come on to the final word. I want to look at bread. On the face of it, quite simple. Two slices and a couple of crumpets. But it's a much simpler word in the Greek or English. It's broken down in the vast majority of cases from the same word, artos, A-R-T-O-S, which means bread. So we get the connection to sustenance from the bread, not from today. But it's simpler. As simple as it is, we're back to that archaeological dig again. The deeper you dig, the more you find. And if you look beyond the literal meaning and consider the metaphorical meaning of bread, bread does in fact mean a lot of different things to a lot of different people. In the Lord's Prayer, it can mean four things, I believe. First, it can refer to the bread of the Lord's Supper, communion, which you've all just enjoyed. The bread on the Lord's table is no ordinary bread. Different churches use different types of bread. Some use small wafers, with paper-thin discs, with Christian symbols pressed in. Others use bread baked in shapes that look like after-dinner mince. And it could be a simple slice of bread, or a roll, or a wonderful loaf of homemade bread. Even as we've enjoyed here in the past, a loaf of bread with cranberries in, which makes a horrific mess when you try and tear it. St. Augustine tells us that in his time, the 5th century, the Lord's Supper was received daily. So giving us our daily bread became identified with receiving the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. So the daily bread is about salvation, and perhaps this explains the link between the Lord's Prayer and the Eucharist. A second meaning for bread could be the symbolic bread of the Word of God. There's an old hymn, Break Thou the Bread of Life, which many people think is a communion prayer or communion hymn. But it's not a communion hymn at all. It's about the Bible, breaking the bread of life. It's got to do with breaking open the Bible and feeding on the Word of God. It says, Break thou the bread of life, dear Lord to me, as thou didst break the loaves beside the sea. Beyond the sacred page, I see thee, Lord. My spirit pants for thee, O living word. Thou art the bread of life, O Lord, to me. Thy holy word, the truth that saveth me. Give me to eat and live with thee above. Teach me to love thy truth, for thou art love. O send thy spirit, Lord, now unto me, that he may touch my eyes and make me see. Show me the truth concealed within thy word, and in thy book revealed I see thee, Lord. Bless thou the truth, dear Lord, to me, as thou didst bless the bread by Galilee. Then shall all bondage cease, all fetters fall, and I shall find my peace, my all in all. We need to be fed daily, not only in our physical needs, but also our intellectual and our emotional needs, and in every aspect of our being, including our spiritual knowledge. So the Lord's Prayer would be a request that we're fed spiritually. A third interpretation of bread is that as a reference to Jesus himself. Jesus, after all, calls himself the bread of life in the Gospel of John. In that sense, the prayer becomes a petition that we daily receive Jesus, who is the bread of life. This would not only mean in terms of receiving Jesus for our salvation, as in the words of the Lord's Supper, but in a daily sense, as the Lord's Prayer implies. In other words, developing a sense of Christ's daily presence. And finally, it can of course just mean food. Two slices of white bread and some Marmite covered beauties. And there's no reason it can't mean all four. Anyone who did a science exam ever will know that in a science exam you get a multiple guess question there to do. Did anyone do science at school? Anyone ever do an exam when they got multiple choice? You're much more intelligent than me. Multiple guess. So you get A, B, C, and D, and at the end you get E, all of the above. I think this is a multiple choice type question, with E being the answer, all of the above. When we pray our daily bread, we might find ourselves praying at any given time for any one or more of these wonderful choices. Give us today our daily bread. Give us all, each and every one of us, this day, the sacramental bread of the body of Christ, the word of God with which we can nourish our souls, the bread of life, Jesus himself, daily walking with us, and the bread we need for our tables to nourish our bodies. Enough today for tomorrow. These essential things, that we receive them in such a time that we do not become anxious about tomorrow. Give us today our daily bread. For yours is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. I want to, if the band wants to come up, they can come up. I want to finish by singing a song. We've got a video of it. I've dumped it on the band this week, so they didn't have to learn it. We're going to play it. It's got the lyrics. It's not a time to spectate. We're going to go into, I think, a time of worship afterwards, hence the band coming up. So just let's be upstanding and let's just worship the Lord. We're going to sing the Lord's Prayer. It's a great version that I stumbled across this week, and it's really easy. Let's stand and let's worship.
Starts with like